Thank you so much for listening in, everybody. Good morning, good afternoon, good night, wherever you are listening to the Mindset Muse podcast. You are welcome. If you're driving anywhere, this is your sign to slow down and enjoy your ride. So today we are honoring the whole month of February. We're going to be honoring Black History Month. So in honor of Black History Month, we have a guest on the show today, my friend and colleague Lazarus Siapa. And he's a global security professional and an entrepreneur. Today we're going to be touching on the issues of Black history, or the subject of Black history, and then we're going to be tying that into the African American diaspora. So Lazarus, you're welcome. Thank you for joining us today.
Hey Didi, and hello fellow listeners of the Mindset Muse podcast. Thanks for having me, Didi. I appreciate you.
Thank you so much. So we are going to begin from the beginning here, Lazarus. We are going to be talking about, you know, you personally, from your point of view and how you see the young professionals today, how we can use Black history or the events of Black history to empower ourselves and to build a better future for our children and grandchildren. So to begin with, tell us about yourself. Tell me about yourself. You came here, you are a Liberian American, right?
Correct.
So how did you come to the United States of America?
Okay. That's an interesting story. I'll give you the short version of it, so we're not here all day. I'm currently 30 years old. And like you already said, my occupation, I'm a global security strategist, currently working for Amazon. As far as my story, how I came to the States, I was born in a small West African nation known as Liberia, back in September of 1989. At the time, months later, following actually my birth, around December timeframe, Liberia kind of fell into a brutal civil war that was kind of fueled by a number of different things, but mainly political greed and ethnic differences. It's kind of what devastated my country. Basically what ensued was 14 years of civil war. There's a slight, period of peace between like 1997 and 98, but basically it was 14 years of civil war that started in 89. And first, my father was working for the government at the time, so he actually came over to the United States in late 1989 under political asylum. So he fled Liberia for his own safety at the time. I was just born, so I was young. I had two older sisters, my mother. We were kind of staying with family members back in Liberia, trying to stay safe until my father was able to kind of get some funds and a good circle of people around him in the States to be able to send for us to join him in the United States. So we ended up coming to the States in October of 1992. And I was about 3 years old at the time. And that's kind of how we ended up in the United States. America kind of gave us a second opportunity at life, a better life for ourselves.
So you came here in October of 92.
Correct. Yeah.
Wow. I was back in Benin.
Okay. That's right.
Back in Benin. Well, so wow, that, what a story. So how did that, that's a big story, because thanks for shortening it up for us. When you and your family got here, how did you, like, what school you went to school? You got some degrees. How did you find the American experience? You were only 2 years old, so you barely experienced Liberia before you even got here.
This is true. So when I first got to the States, obviously I was young. Like I said, I was about 3 years old. So, obviously my parents, they came here in their mid-30s early to mid-30s. My siblings were young at the time as well. So everything I know about Africa and about Liberia at the time, I kind of learned, mm-hmm. Secondhand from my parents and from relatives right. who tell me stories and show me pictures and old mm-hmm. footage and whatnot. But the American experience for me, uh-huh. it was an interesting one because I was always connecting to my African heritage, my roots. But here in America, as you can kind of relate, as Africans mm-hmm. in the diaspora, we're kind of forced at times to kind of assimilate mm-hmm. because you're faced with many different obstacles here in the United States from
right.
just the society not really accepting you for who you are. Mm-hmm. Sometimes your own people not accepting you for who you are, wanting you to change and just kind of be more socially accepting or acceptable to a certain extent. Mm-hmm. So it was mm-hmm. definitely an interesting contrast for me growing mm-hmm. up in the States. But since I was young, it was a lot easier. It was an easier transition for me to kind of, yeah. Accept the American dream and accept the human condition here in the States.
Yeah. Just relating back to your story there for a little bit of my backstory. Mm-hmm. I came here when I was 12 years old. So I had a little bit of Africa in me before I got here.
Right.
So, but we were kind of in the same situation where, my father was working as a opposition to the government. So he also had to fled, and we came here under political protection. So okay. we came here as refugees. So I can totally relate to that backstory there. So, mm-hmm. What we're really trying to focus on is the events that happen in Black history, the events that we hear about and we read about. How can we, in your opinion, use those events to strengthen ourselves as, young Black entrepreneurs? Why is this so important for us to use that story to as a kind of like a torch, to brighten sure. up our own futures, in the dark alleys of the future? How can we use that as a light, as a guiding light?
Sure. So I feel like one of the biggest things for mm-hmm. Africans in the diaspora, African Americans and everyone in between, when it comes to really empowering yourself and understanding the importance of entrepreneurship mm-hmm. is really to understand, first and foremost, to understand Black history.
Right.
Because Black history is American history, right?
It
and
is.
Black history is also African history.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like that it's that juxtaposed reality that Africans in the diaspora and African Americans really need to kind of make a conscious effort to try to understand, and if not, to research to understand better.
Right.
Because like the old saying goes, if you don't know where you're from, you don't know where you're going.
Exactly.
So I feel like that's major to really understand why we celebrate Black history, why it's so important.
Mm-hmm.
I think so much of our history has been kind of stripped and suppressed, mm-hmm. through the ages. Mm-hmm. And that's all by design. It's not by mm-hmm. chance, it's by design. Because unfortunately, in certain spaces outside of Africa, not just America, but in certain spaces where we're considered minority, in order to control people, you have mm-hmm. to, in order to control people or in order to defer their empowerment and their development, it's all by controlling their minds. And that's kind of what we're facing as Africans in America or in Europe, so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
So really that's kind of like the key to understanding Black history, your roots, where you're from,
mm-hmm.
and that's how you can kind of really find yourself in a position to empower yourself without needing any help from anybody else, especially when it comes to business and entrepreneurship.
Right. And you brought a good point about Africans and then African Americans. One mm-hmm. of my challenges when I came here as a 12-year-old was noticing how I was received, by the young African Americans. Because when I first got here, I got really excited and I saw African Americans and I said, oh my God, these are my brothers and sisters. But they didn't feel the same way. And I asked somebody, I figured I was being treated kind of in a mean way. And I'm one of those people that have open conversations with people. So I talked to one of the guys. I said, why do you feel like I'm different from you? And he said, sure. Well, your people sold my ancestors into slavery. And it's such a painful answer when he said it. I didn't have anything to back it up with, you know. Mm-hmm. And from that moment on, I started to have more empathy for the African American. And, you know, there was a scene in the movie Black Panther. He's, you know, you can tell there was an angst there that I understood right away. Years later, when I watched that movie, I was like, that was exactly what that guy was saying, because he was so angry when he answered me that question. He said that you guys sold us into slavery. And right. As painful as that history is to us, one of the things that I always want is for Africans and African Americans to come together as one, because right. I feel like the reason why there's no strong organization in our communities a lot of the time is because of that difference. So, right. You know, in your opinion, what can the African teach the African American, or what can the African American teach the African? What do you think are elements that can bring us together as one people, so that we can build better businesses and create better futures for our children and grandchildren?
For sure. So, I mean, really, I think that the fundamental key to all of that is understanding each other. There's a level of tolerance that needs to be adhered to, mm-hmm. a level of understanding and knowledge, because mm-hmm. I mean, there is some truth to that narrative, right? But there's also mm-hmm. a lot of misconceptions and misinformation about that narrative, right? Mm-hmm. What I feel like when Africans come over here to the States, even when it comes to like immigration, they're fed a lot of negative stereotypes about African Americans, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
To stay away from these certain peoples, they're fed that, and not just Africans, but minorities in general, they're fed that a lot about Blacks in America. Mm-hmm. So, really, we have to kind of unlearn a lot of things that we learned that we were taught about mm-hmm. our own people, because inherently we're all the same, right? The only difference between Africans and African Americans are generations. It's time. That's the only difference. Time mm-hmm. and obviously geography, as far as how they came here, so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. But really, in order to bridge that gap, it's the level of tolerance that needs to be learned, adhere to. We need to understand each other's differences, each other's lives, and how each other's elements, right? Because mm-hmm. a lot of Africans don't even understand the African American experience in America. I know for myself, I know that a lot of African Americans have a certain mentality, right? And we look at it as kind of like a victim's mentality. But mm-hmm. if you don't understand what they went through here in the States for 300, 400 years when it comes to slavery, segregation, so on and so forth, that's not going to carry over with you. You're not going to be able to relate to that. Mm-hmm. So that's why knowledge is so important. African Americans need to learn more about what happens in Africa. Mm-hmm. Even when it comes to when you look at the different revolutionaries here in the States, people, the civil rights leaders in America, so on and so forth. But mm-hmm. without context, you wouldn't know that a lot of those civil rights leaders had connections to other civil rights leaders in Africa. The Patrice Lumumbas, Thomas Sankara, the mm-hmm. Nelson Mandelas and whatnot. All of their stories are uniquely different, but also mm-hmm. uniquely the same. So I just feel like there's a level of knowledge and understanding that needs to be adhered to. And that's the only way we're going to be able to move forward, because there's so much misinformation and misconceptions about each other.
There is a concept in my mind that mm-hmm. or my own opinion that the individual's development, so that for you to have your own self-development, self-growth, that's important, very important. Right. But also, as you're developing individually, it's important to take it upon ourselves to educate the community along the way.
Absolutely.
In Africa, they say it takes a village to raise one child.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a lot of work, you know, to raise just mm-hmm. one person is going to take a whole entire village. So my idea behind this podcast is really encouraging young people, the young generation, to when we learn about history and we learn about the depths of history, there was going to be events that happen that are going to be so painful that we wouldn't even be able to conceptualize them, because that's the choices those people make at that time. And those choices are going to affect all of us, no matter what we do. It wasn't our choice, but it's going to affect us no matter what we do. But I want to raise the consciousness of the young generation to some of those pains, to use that as fuel instead of, you know, wobbling in the pain too much, to use that as fuel to and motivation to build ourselves and our homes and our communities. One of the things that I learned going into entrepreneurship is how misinformed the young minority entrepreneur is.
Correct.
Especially about financial literacy, especially about the ins and outs of business. So whenever a minority opens businesses, minority women, or a lot of them are opening up businesses, what's happening is that we don't understand the concept of investing, right? We don't understand the concept of investing. We don't understand business through and through the way we should. So some of the businesses are failing because of that. In your background, I know that you dabble a little bit in real estate. Can you tell us a little about that? Is that something you're open to discuss here?
Yeah, sure. I can give you some insight into that. So I've always kind of had a desire and inclination to learn more about real estate. The peak of this desire was probably about 4 or 5 years ago. Actually right around the time I met my fiance. Her mother actually owns a lot of property, and she does a lot of real estate investing and development back home in Nigeria. And so she always saw her mother as kind of like a catalyst to what she wanted to do. She never saw her mom do a 9-to-5. Her mom was always kind of like an entrepreneur, her own, her own boss, whether she owns a couple of stores when it comes to fashion and whatnot. So when I met her, I kind of grew up a little different as far as my parents had 9-to-5, which there's nothing wrong with. They were professionals. They went to school. They had 9-to-5. They worked hard. But it's just that idea of kind of owning your own, right? Kind of and that self-empowerment that's so intriguing about entrepreneurship, especially in 2020, being a millennial and whatnot. So I grew up around something a little bit different. So my mentality is a little bit different. I was always told, go to school, get good grades, and, get hired either for the government or in corporate America, make great money, live your life, so on and so forth. So when my fiance came into my life, she kind of taught me or she allowed me to see things from a different perspective, right? So I started to see life a little bit differently as far as what I could really accomplish out here with entrepreneurship, how I could really be kind of the curator of my own life in a sense, and not have to really answer anybody myself. It's not so much about, I think a lot of people, especially millennials, have the wrong idea of entrepreneurship, right? They think that once you own your own business, you don't really have to work hard, the money comes in, so on and so forth. But the truth be told, a lot of entrepreneurs work, 60, 70, 80 hours a week. But the only difference is they're building something for themselves that they can pass down to their kids, their family members, so on and so forth. So I started this. It came to pass, and I was able to start this my own real estate firm, if you would, and I called it Ciazzi Real Estate. Basically, Ciazzi is the first half of my last name and the last half of her last name, her maiden last name. That's kind of how we came up with that name. So basically, with Ciazzi Real Estate, we do a little bit of everything. But the biggest thing with real estate is if you do it for money, you're in for the wrong purpose. real estate, the key to a successful realtor, anybody who's in real estate when it comes to investing, is really trying to solve problems. It's all mm-hmm. about people. It's all about people. It's all about shaking mm-hmm. hands, taking names, and making a connection with people. Those mm-hmm. and anyone who's really successful in real estate will tell you the same thing. Mm-hmm. So our company's more focused around I started with wholesaling at first. And mm-hmm. in short, wholesaling is basically the process in where for the most part, you don't need any kind of capital to start. You don't need mm-hmm. an amazing credit score or anything like that. Because mm-hmm. basically you're finding distressed or highly motivated sellers mm-hmm. And you're connecting them with buyers, people who have the mm-hmm. investors who have the money to buy a property. A lot of these houses are distressed, which means they're not up to par. They're not the best houses. They need fixing. And a lot of these individuals who are trying to sell their houses, they have certain issues. Either it's foreclosure, their house is about to go to, about to be repossessed by the bank, any kind mm-hmm. of liens, vacancies, bankruptcy, divorce. Mm-hmm. So basically we're trying to solve problems, and that's mainly what mm-hmm. my company does. Mm-hmm. So it's a little bit of wholesaling. It's a little bit of flipping here and there, mm-hmm. and some rental properties. We're trying to get into that as soon mm-hmm. as possible as well too. But like I said, I've always had the desire to do real estate because I feel like real estate is one of those businesses where it's kind of recession proof, and I feel like it's one of those things where it's not going anywhere because people will always mm-hmm. need a place to stay. People will always mm-hmm. need food to eat. That's mm-hmm. kind of the world we live in. It's part of life. So mm-hmm. real estate is a very lucrative business if you go about the right way and you're in it for the right reasons.
Right. And if money is not just your motivation, you can pretty much succeed in anything because your why has to be bigger than money.
Absolutely. That was very well said. Very well said.
Mm-hmm. All right. So what I took out of that, you were talking about real estate, but you and I, when we were talking, you did mention a book for real estate. It's called If You Can't Wholesale After This, Then what is it called again?
If you can't wholesale after this, I have nothing for you.
I have nothing for you.
It's a great book. It's honestly a great book. It's one of those kind of books where if you take the time to read it, you can really get any and everything you need when it comes to the wholesaling process. Because again, with wholesaling, you're basically selling contracts. You're being the middleman, and you're adding on mm-hmm. a finder's fee, and that's how you're getting paid through wholesaling.
Yeah, I want to go back into entrepreneurship here a little bit when you were saying how people don't understand what entrepreneurship is. They think you're your own boss and that's it. But entrepreneurship Correct. Demands a lot of discipline. Mm-hmm. Discipline and consistency. If you don't have both of those things, you will not make it. If you have both of those things, you will, without a doubt, make it, no matter how dumb or smart you are. Those two things are very important. Do you have anything else to add to that?
I couldn't agree with you more. I think those two things are very important. And really, it's just work ethic, because a lot of people, they'll work hard to get what they want, and once they get it, mm-hmm. that work ethic starts to falter a little bit. And anything, mm-hmm. if you want to sustain anything, we see it every day. We see celebrities, mm-hmm. we see athletes who make it to the mm-hmm. acme of their profession or their realm of knowledge, and then they mm-hmm. lose that work ethic, and they either end up getting hurt, or they end up getting kicked out of the league early, end up losing their money, end up not getting in movies, their movie mm-hmm. roles and whatnot. So it's all part of really sustaining, being able to sustain success. You really got to work on that work ethic. Even when you get there, you're still not done yet. And so that's even bigger when it comes to entrepreneurship.
Mm-hmm. Your work is never finished.
Never
finished. So one of the things that I've known you for that really drew you to me is how you credit your fiance to a lot of your success stories. So I really admire that about you. Can you teach the people, the young people of the generation, how important it is mm-hmm. to find a woman that is so intelligent and so dedicated to self-development and growth? how important is that to stick with somebody that is, I don't know, willing to love you through it all? Tell us about that.
Sure. I mean, for me, it's all about, because, you know, obviously people look at relationships in different ways, and mm-hmm. I'm no relationship guru. I don't claim to be. I just try to set a good example, right? Mm-hmm. I try to do the right things for myself that I feel like it's needed for my life. And, mm-hmm. you know, I'm not sure. This can connect to anybody. You don't have to be religious, but I feel like, you know, the Bible says in Proverbs 18:22, he who finds a wife finds a good thing, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that, you know, that can be interpreted in many different ways, not just a wife, but a partner, a life partner, someone who's mm-hmm. equally yoked, who can mentor you, someone who can also help you grow. Because mm-hmm. if you're not growing in life, you're being stagnant. And then, what, you know, what's the purpose in life if you're not growing? Right. So for me, I feel like, especially if you find the right partner in life, mm-hmm. you guys are meant to build something together, mm-hmm. something that's you know, stands the test of time. Mm-hmm. So for me, I've been blessed. I don't believe in luck, but I've been blessed with a fiance, with a woman in my life who mm-hmm. Not only encourages me to be the best version of myself, mm-hmm. but also you know, kind of sets me down, and she's not afraid to correct me when I am mm-hmm. wrong, and I listen. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. even though she's younger than me, we all have our flaws as humans, but it's all part of being in a relationship. It's a give and take. It's reciprocity. It's a little bit of everything. Mm-hmm. You gotta be able to learn from your partner. Mm-hmm. So she's helped me as far as my mentality. She's helped me tremendously to get to where I'm at now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's important to have somebody like that around you. When you are an entrepreneur, one of the biggest components of being a successful entrepreneur is having the right people, the right mindset. That this is what this podcast is all about, because there are people who, for example, would not want to invest in anything, but they want freebies, but they don't want to invest into their business, but they will ask somebody else to do it. So right. ideas like that, if you have the right mentality, you will succeed. But if you don't have that, if you don't have the right partners, the right people around you, success is going to be eluding you for a very long time.
Agree.
So we have one last question before we wrap this up.
Sure.
So what are your thoughts on the spirit of entrepreneurship as far as how far we've come?
Oh, wow. That's a great question. I think really when it comes to like the spirit of entrepreneurship, I think as a people, we have to kind of take a trip back into time. We have to kind of mm-hmm. Look back at the great African kingdoms and empires such as Mali, Songhai, Ashanti, Benin, the list goes on, you know? Mm-hmm. You kind of like uniquely with those past kingdoms and empires and civilizations, entrepreneurship was like the bedrock of those civilizations. You know, tribes would trade goods and services for either a small mm-hmm. fee or just simply in good, you know, good faith. Mm-hmm. And now if you fast forward like a couple hundred years, you'd have Black owned businesses and establishments in America that were created for stability and accessibility to entire neighborhoods and communities from, you know, Atlanta all the way to Black Wall Street in Oklahoma.
Right.
So really, the main difference, you know, the contrast between early African entrepreneurship and American entrepreneurship as Blacks or as a people was basically because in America, entrepreneurship was seen as empowerment, of, you know, kind of evening the playing field because mm-hmm. in a way we kind of rewrote the rules, honestly, mm-hmm. How to make money, how to support our people, because, you know, we were economically and socially castrated, for lack of better terms. From, you know, segregation to redlining, so on and so forth. So that's basically kind of how I see the spirit of entrepreneurship and how things have changed and how far we've come.
Yeah, that is such a jam, because the Mali Empire was big. Mm-hmm. It was big. It was bigger than the Roman Empire. Mm-hmm. And most people don't know that. That is so empowering to know that our people have always been the best traders entrepreneurship is in our blood.
It really is.
So it's in our blood. Yeah, I want my listeners to really hear this, because if you think about Africa and Africans right now, all we know is entrepreneurship. We breathe and eat entrepreneurship. So
we really do.
We really do. And that's how we survive in Africa. You also, you know, mentioned how your fiance's mom, she does is entrepreneurship. That's all we know. That's all we know. Until I came here, I didn't know that, you know, you have to go to work and be on somebody's clock. They tell you when to go to lunch and all that. That's strange to me.
Right.
It's very strange.
Yeah, it definitely is. I mean, entrepreneurship at its very root, it kind of lights a different kind of fire inside of you. It's a different beast. It makes you a different kind of person, to be honest. It's kind of eat or be eaten type mentality.
All right. Thank you so much. Thank you for answering the question. That was a great answer. I appreciate you for that.
For sure.
So here are my takeaways from our conversation. We had covered a lot of things today, and I really appreciate the content that we have here. But the major takeaway that I have from this conversation is how you took it back to the powerful empires of Africa, such as the Mali Empire and the Benin Empires, and how those empires were really sustained because of trading and business and entrepreneurship. And those people, their power derives from doing business with each other. That's how they were able to maintain their power. So I really like that. And we can take some power from that history and tie it into our, you know, into our modern day lives. Because when you look at history, Black history, it's always talking about slavery only and not really beyond that. So I like how we took it back to the Mali Empire and those powerful empires. That to me has given me a lot of power, and it has encouraged me to keep doing what I'm doing as an entrepreneur and keep growing, because it's in my blood, you know, literally. So that's what my takeaway was from that conversation. I appreciate that you took it back beyond, you know, just slavery, the slavery conversation, which is also very important, of course. So what are your takeaways?
Sure. So, I mean, I have a few takeaways that I really want the listeners to kind of consume and reflect on later on after listening to this. I think the first one being that to truly understand the significance of entrepreneurship, you know, as an African or as an African American in diaspora, you have to first, you know, study the past. Then next, look towards the future with hope always, and be tolerant. Right. And always be tolerant and open-minded of the present. That's a major takeaway for me. And then I'd have to say, you know, just remember, no matter what you do or pursue in life, make it about something other than yourself. And when you do this, because, you know, without meaning, things have no real purpose. So I feel like you kind of looking at something and removing yourself from it makes it that much more meaningful and important. You know, the purpose surrounding entrepreneurship is to provide goods and services to others. You know, that's at its core, at its root. That's what entrepreneurship really is, while creating a better life for first them and then for yourself. So always put others first is the root of and one of the other takeaways I want to kind of make sure our listeners gather today.
So like you like saying that the you know, let's take real estate, for example, it's about the people, not about the money, so to speak.
Always.
Yeah. All right. So, guys, what are your takeaways from this conversation? To all the listeners of the Mindset Muse podcast, let me know. Let us know here what your takeaways are. You can comment or even leave us a voice message about what your takeaways are from this conversation. How are you going to take what you learned today and apply it to your everyday life? Okay, Lazarus, can you tell our listeners how they can reach you?
Sure, I'd love to. So the listeners, you guys can reach me at IG or on IG at Lazarus C Alpha. That's LAZARUS. Then my last name is SIAF as in Fox A. So that's all one word, at Lazarus C Alpha. I also have some of my more creative thoughts and opinions can be found on my writing page. That's at Laz the Writer. That's L-A-Z underscore the Writer, all one word. And I'm also on Twitter. That's by Lazarus C Alpha on Twitter.
All right. Thank you.
And thanks for having me again, dude. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for coming.
All right. Bye.
Hey guys, don't forget to like, subscribe, and share the Mindset Muse podcast. We are on Instagram at the Mindset Muse podcast. For me personally, my name is Didi, your host. I am on Instagram at Didi underscore essay. That's D as in David, E as in elephant, D as in David again, E as in elephant, underscore E as in elephant, S like Sam, S like Sam, E as in elephant. So DD underscore essay. That's my IG. So until next time, we will see you here again Monday morning between 9:30 and 10 a.m. Central Standard Time. Have a wonderful, wonderful week. Bye.